welcome everyone and thank the sheriff for giving us a fantastic tour. It was really enormously helpful to be able to walk around and to speak to him one-on-one about some of the great things that are going on here and also some of the issues that eventually are going to have to be addressed. So thank you very much. I want to take a quick look at the May 6th regular meeting minutes and ask for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
And I'll pass those around. We have several resolutions, about 10, four of which deal with the Fire Public Safety Training Center. We're going to start with some fairly straightforward resolutions before we get to those. So the first resolution is number 233, and this is, shorthand, it's called CARP, the Crimes Against Revenue Program. I'm going to pass out here, Jay will pass out an email describing sort of history of CARP, and I'm also going to turn to Legislator Ronk, who graciously agreed to give us background on the program. Well, actually, Jay
graciously offered. This is and Ken Ron can field questions there. Wow.
That's what I just read.
Wow, Jessica's throwing me under the bus too. So this is a grant that we get from DCJS. Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
And over the years, the DA's office has gotten into more of the, you know, white collar crimes. You know, this is welfare fraud or embezzlement, and it pays for DA, ADA, and fringe benefits to run the program. We've had a lot of, we've had a lot of success in recovering monies through this program, having the ADA who specifically deals with crimes against revenue.
Any questions?
Absent any preparation before now that I was told that I was going to give background on it.
That was pretty good.
This is just basically grant money, right?
It is. It covers a portion of the cost of the ADA and their job responsibilities.
Without any questions, a motion to consider? I should have done that beforehand. Sorry about that.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So, pass that to you. On to resolution number 234. Adjusting the annual salary of the district attorney as required by the New York State Judiciary Law.
And I'll reluctantly move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
It's nice that the state keeps telling us to increase the salary, but, I mean, state law dictates that the DA's salary is tied to that of the, I think it's the highest paid county court judge.
Which is 210.
Which is rising again this year.
Which is roughly 210.
Correct.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, so now we're getting into the Public Safety Training Center, resolution number 235. A contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Justice Benefits Inc.
This is not the Public Safety Training Center.
Sorry about that.
I'll move it for discussion.
Yeah.
Second.
Any discussion?
Is there somebody from the sheriff's office to give us a little background on it? Is that possible, Sheriff?
Actually, this is a new one on me.
Let me give you a detail. It's the here it says extend term of agreement for optimization of federal financial participation for inmates. Director of Purchasing. Okay. It just says the Ulster County Legislature shall have the power to approve the execution of certain contracts and amendments in the amount of $50,000 or in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. It's amendment 4, extend the term of the agreement, and it's for
it looks like
financial research and consulting services.
I'm just looking at the contract review and summary sheet for the previous one that's in our information, Sheriff. It looks like this is a company that we...
It's called Firm?
It's a firm that we contract with, I think, to obtain federal reimbursement for undocumented immigrants that we have in our facility. That's based on what I'm reading here. It says professional services contract for JBI to help the county realize federal reimbursement opportunities under the State Criminal Alien Act, or State Criminal Alien.
It's called Justice Benefits,
This is your scope of services. So it's perform the following services. Identify federal reimbursement for SCAAP. There's like 10 different...
Financial research and consulting.
State Criminal Alien Assistance Program.
Right.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, please go ahead.
When I was looking at this, I was wondering if you had any history, track record. Like, it says up to $25,000 a year, right? So do we have any trend? How much has this company identified for us? How much have we paid out to them? All we have is an extension of a contract, but no specifics with regards to the trend line. What did we get for the services? How much revenue have they brought in? How much have they identified? So that was one of the questions I had.
And I will have to get back to you on that because I was not prepared for this part of the meeting, and I apologize for that.
I can get that SCAP information for you. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, for the last couple of years, it'd be interesting. You've had it now for since 12. You know, what have you realized in additional funding coming in?
I would just say that this contract's going to go in front of the Ways and Means Committee.
Right. Well, that's why I'm asking it now.
Right, if they could maybe collect that information and bring it to Ways and Means.
We can probably get you an answer before you get out of here today.
Okay. I'm going to reach out for the cap.
So it looks like it's largely data management.
Right. Well, it's looking for grant money. It's
not grant money per se.
Federal
reimbursement for.
But they're doing it for everyone. They're out of Texas. It looks like this is their business. So my question is, what are we getting for our money?
Well, so
are there other?
If you look at the Schedule B and Section 2, it's up to $25,000.
Right.
But they're completing this at no risk contingency fee of 22%. So we're only, we're only paying out 22% of whatever they're bringing in to us. So
percentage of money received.
So I understand that, but are there other people doing it?
Right.
You know what's? So we're just re-upping a contract we've always had. And my question is, are we getting anything for it? Are there other companies doing it? And have we explored that? Or are we just re-upping the same person who's been doing it? And what's the result been? So I'm looking for...
Right. As a professional service, it's not required to go out to bid. But
I understand that. But what is somebody else? Can somebody else do it? Do they have a better track record? Have we explored that?
Right.
Are they getting us as much as we can get?
Right.
I don't know.
Do we want to hold off on this and see if we get an answer, or
how? I'll just continue on, and maybe we can come back if it has an answer.
I'll withdraw my motion for now, and then we'll move on from there.
So do I have to have a vote for the table? Okay, we're going to table for the moment.
Wait a sec.
I just withdrew my motion, so then we'll just move on, and then later on we'll make a motion again.
All right, resolution number 236, which is about the Public Safety Training Center to increase funding for construction, buildings, and grounds.
I'll move it. This is amending the capital project to reflect the increased costs based on the bids that came in.
All right, I need a second.
I'll second.
Do you want us to talk about each of these individually, or do you want to block them and you can just ask questions about the entire block? What would you prefer to do?
Should probably just block them.
I'll make a motion that we block together
4, 5,
236, 38, 39, 40, and that's it.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we're going to block 236,
238, 239,
and 240.
Do I just walk you through it?
Yep. Yeah, that would be a great place to start.
So, Thursday before, we got the bids back.
Yep.
We had two bids on general construction for the burn building. One came in at $5.5 million for construction. The other one came in at $8.5 million, so there's a $3 million delta. RCM, who evaluates the bids, has done work with the company Profex and thinks that they are a good...
Responsible
bidder, and had them go back and look through their bid to make sure they didn't miss anything and that they're not going to, you know, try to come back and recoup that $3 million. And I believe they have reevaluated it, and they are sticking by their bid. And so we believe it's a good bid, even though there is that kind of $3 million difference. One of the reasons that I've been told that this may be the case is that Profex, who is that company, they do a lot of their own. They're a GC company that still actually does, they self-perform a lot of the work. So whereas you may see other GCs basically sub everything out and they're like a, you know, glorified construction manager firm, these folks do all the work kind of in-house. So within that, there's a contingency as well. And you also have Foremost Electric, which is $66,750, and amending CT Mail's contract for $201,000 of construction inspection services. Again, so for CT Mail, when we went out to RFP for the architectural services for this and engineering for this project, we had construction inspection in that RFP, but we don't award that in a contract until it's time, because if they were to do, let's say, the full amount, and we went out to bid and we decided to totally scrap the project, we wouldn't want to be on the hook for the construction inspection services.
Mm-hmm.
So now we come back, we ask you to amend to add in construction inspection. So the total cost for this project is $6,877,855. What it doesn't, that's $6.2 million in new money. What it doesn't include is anything to do with the administration building, because the bids for the administration building came in at $1.1 million for a building that cost the Ulster Fire Association $80,000 to build back in the early 90s. So we're going to need to review, obviously not award those bids, either change the scope of that work or demolish the building and rebuild on site. We're looking at all of our options. We may be able to build a manufactured classroom building for cheaper. Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Cortland Fire Tower that was put in play last year?
Yes.
They did that for $700,000.
Different type of building.
So it's a burn building. It for, according to this, it meets all the standards. So when you say it's a different type of building, can you please explain?
Yeah, so they put it out, I believe it was a fire blast building, correct?
Yep.
Yep, so it's a fire blast building. It's actually a metal building with a concrete fascia on the front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
The dimensions are not comparable to the building that we're looking at. And the building that we're looking at is a concrete building, three-story, 5,100 square foot, and the load-bearing pillars to keep the structure upright are all exterior except for three that are interior, and the stairwell wall, right? What that allows us to do is it allows the building to last longer. This is a 30-plus year building compared to a 20-minus year building, depending on the use. Where we can maintain heat and smoke, which is and do a lot more with fire behavior, which is the biggest thing that we really need to look at in firefighter training. Right now, it's fire behavior. Fires are burning You know, the fire loads within structures right now are a lot different than what they used to be. So, you know, we want to look at fire behavior. The walls within the structure itself in this building that's being proposed is just block wall. So these blocks, if they were to crack, you're just knocking out a block, a concrete block, and you're putting a new block in there. The issues with the metal buildings is the metal is warping, screws are popping out, there's a lot more maintenance with it. Rust along the inside, moisture gets behind the wall itself, and there's issues there. Also, down the road, if we wanted to look at changing the layout inside the building, we just knock out the wall and redesign the inside of the structure. The exterior is still there, the load-bearing pillars in the wall, that's all on the outside as well. We want to look at changing scenarios. This building here that's being proposed, you can burn throughout the entire structure, except for the stairwell, okay? So being able to burn throughout the entire structure allows us to give different scenarios. A lot of times that you see with metal buildings, you're only burning in specific burn rooms that are lined to
handle the burn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So be that being said, you know, you do one or two rooms. Now these firefighters are advancing the same hose line into the same room every single time, and every fire that they've gone to is not like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so our training, you're only as good as to what you can fall back on in your muscle memory. So we want to try to change that and allow them and switch up the scenarios. This allows us this building allows us to do up to five different scenarios at one time. You know, that means that we can have multiple departments training at this facility at one time. Ulster County has a high amount of fire departments within the county. We have 50. Okay, it's a lot more than most counties throughout New York State. So, you know, that being said, you know, we need to ensure that we can train these firefighters. A lot of them train on the same night. Monday night is a big training night. Mm. So we might have four or five departments that want to train. We can withstand that now. You know, and that's a big thing. We don't want to tell firefighters, no, you cannot train in this building because someone else is using it. They're using the first floor, second floor is available, third floor is available.
So you can accommodate at least five?
We can accommodate five scenarios at one time.
So how many people is that usually?
So if you're doing one or two scenarios, it's usually about four personnel per scenario, okay? And that's on one floor, so.
I think we were trying to think that we could get at least three companies on site at any particular time, given the range of facilities that are there.
So I noticed that, do we have any other funding coming in from the state?
Yes. We have appropriations at the state budget level of 4.5. That's a 50% match. So we get $2,275,000, we anticipate. That has made it through the first level of review at the state level, but it requires a signed lease between the county and the SUNY Ulster in order for it to make it through the Dormitory Association so we can actually access the money.
But
so we're waiting for that signed lease.
We plan on also going back and asking for the additional appropriation to match, so there will be a 50% match for the entire 6.8 million.
So we would end up needing another $750,000.
So you had 2.5 under the original number, and now with the you're saying you're going to go back for
in
the
next
additional.
Year's budget.
Yeah, we have to ask for additional appropriation authority.
So even though the fire training isn't going to be on the SUNY campus.
Well, it's dollars eventually expended, and it's related back to full time equivalent enrollments at the college. So that's what they're looking at.
I think Heppner wanted to
It's related to the training at the college. We have the Jack Rose Lecture Hall, so there will be classroom training being done at the college, and I believe that eventually. BFO is going to be taught in part there, correct?
Yeah, so we've been pushing a lot of our classes to the college currently. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've been doing some seminars there. You know, OFBC has been teaching there quite a few times. We've been hosting county seminars there. Currently, we're running an initial fire IFO, Initial Firearms Operations course, at the college. So that's being ran there right now. So that's being done. And slowly, we've been pushing more classes there. And we've been doing that, you know, working with the college.
So are you going to need the administration building in the Ulster location?
The short answer is yes, because we obviously need, even if we don't use it for any training facilities, which we believe we're going to have to use it for some training on site, we do need bathroom facilities, we do need other types of facilities. And what we were proposing there, even though it had a large price tag, had a very small footprint. I mean, this was a very modest building to start with, and what we're proposing is essentially was a gun rehab, and the numbers were astounding given the size of the building.
So you're recommending just a new building?
Right now, I think what we're recommending is we take a good hard look at that building, and then we start pricing out what alternatives we have. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to do, one of the things that we think we're going to have to do is, absent a look at that building, we'll probably do some minor maintenance work on the building to get the bathroom facilities to work and make sure the access worked on it. We can do that with our in-house staff.
And that was $1.1 million.
The smallest GC bid was, I think, over $700,000.
Well, there was only one, and it was $730,000.
The air conditioning alone was $122,000, just air conditioning building, which is about $40 a square foot.
Jesus Christ.
The administration building is important. It relates right to the hands-on training. Ulster County is one of two counties in New York State that runs a 3.5-week summer program that we're very successful with. We currently have 19 people going through that program right now. It's very intense, 3.5 weeks, and they come out with 6 different classes, OPC certificates. Mm. And that class can't be run in 2 separate locations. And a lot of other classes that we offer, they start out in the classroom and they need to be able to walk right to the training ground. The classes need to be dynamic depending on the weather and so on. Mm-hmm. I think that it's very important that administration building does exist.
Yeah, and then I'll go to Hepner.
Yep. Oh, please go ahead.
No, keep going.
I'm sorry. I noticed that in the Cortland, they had, Seward got them money, about $300,000. The assemblywoman there got about $200,000. Are we getting any support and help, and have we appealed to our representatives for help and support?
We will.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. We may have.
We reached out to Metzger's office.
Okay.
And there's follow-up information that they're going to ask from us.
Okay.
For
next year's budget. Yeah.
I get that. I'm exploring everything. And the next one, you guys, I know you're going to cringe when I say this, but we have 50 companies. They're a taxing authority as well. Is there any... No, I mean, any contribution? I don't know. I'm asking the question.
It's a 2% tax cap.
Right.
So that's going to affect them. So that's right. The issue.
And we're bonding. This is a capital, so we're bonding for it. I mean, I don't know how we'd...
I mean, each of these departments has equipment needs, they have radio needs.
I understand all that. I'm just looking at alternatives here, just based on what I had read around the
other one. I don't want to lose sight, too, is that this is just not a fire training center.
Right.
It's a public safety training center. Currently the police agencies use the firing range for qualifications, giving them access to the administration building to go in and do, Article 35, for example. They're able to use that building as well.
There's a pavilion in this capital that also expands their storage for
the pavilion there is where their old 100-yard line used to be. Mm-hmm. So now what we're doing is we're giving them the option to shoot undercover in the weather, which they were shooting out in the open before. It realigns their 100-yard line so they're shooting straight instead of across the where the proposed training facility is. It gives them some storage within the pavilion to store some equipment, brass collector and so on.
So
and the county did look at a shared service grant.
Okay. Right. Okay. So and the other thing is, I understand that just based on the location, soil, etc., you're going to have some challenges with some of those corner posts.
Pouring,
and you're going to have to go down 50 feet on 60. One or two of
We have 21 deep borings.
Okay.
The estimate that we've used for those borings based on, we did a lot of geotech work on the site. The estimate that we used is that they're 40 feet each. We have borings that show depth to rock at 8 feet, and we have borings that show depth to rock at 42 feet. We don't have anything beyond 42 feet.
I was just rounding up to 50.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody said 50. So.
I said 50.
Oh, okay, that was
42
you.
Is pretty
close. I know
close.
I heard 50.
Right. So that's what the bid is based on, and then there's a unit price for additional on a linear foot basis.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 200 and change for additional. That there are 18 foot work. We have to pin this building to bedrock,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we have to do.
So what did that component add to the overall cost of?
Well, if you did 21 times 200 and change, you could kind of get an estimate of what their bid price was. It wouldn't be exact because they probably bid less than that versus ads versus what their bid was. So we really don't know. The consultant estimates were anywhere between $250,000 to $350,000.
But I don't know that it's fair to say that that's a straight ad because we didn't have another location that we wouldn't have had to purchase. And so this this was a location where we were able to work out an agreement with the Ulster, the town association. Had we had to go to a separate location and purchase the location, etc., then there may have been additional cost.
Okay, so you have explored
yes.
all of that. And,
I mean, this
and
was
even,
one of how
even
many
location
sites?
On we
looked
the site?
At, we looked at 65 alternative sites and narrowed it down to
mm-hmm.
three.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those three, this is the one that came out as the most suitable, not only from a standpoint of its existing use, but also from a standpoint of the infrastructure that was there. There's a substantial road infrastructure there that you shouldn't overlook. Relative to that, there's also water systems there, and there's a functioning sewer system in that location. So we don't think
access
the site
highways.
Yeah.
We don't think the site owes us money,
uh-huh.
so to speak, as compared to another site. There were other sites that we did look at, but those once you start looking at other sites, you could run costs in the millions of dollars just for site acquisition.
For infrastructure.
Yeah.
Jonathan, are you?
Yeah,
you?
I'm finished.
Okay.
Well, she actually,
thank you.
That last question regarding the borings was one of my questions. I'm glad that this moves forward. At the three-story level, I know that was extremely important to the fire services, my home fire department. But again, it is a significant, project. Discussions with Bert, and, in terms of financial forecast and, just the overall picture of county finances. Do you guys feel comfortable with where we're at with this increase in terms of, moving forward in long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the additional revenue, the additional cost in the bonding payments mm-hmm. from what we thought is something that we'll have to look at and account for every year in the budget, but should be doable. Just to get back to your one comment, I think we had come to you with the idea our consultant's estimates for the third floor was somewhere around $700,000 when we were looking at putting it in as a possible add or delete. It ended up only coming back as a $400,000 cost.
Yeah,
so when you look at a
20-year bond.
A 20-year bond, it's $20,000 essentially, and for the amount of extra training that the fire services could do,
definitely
I think it's well worth it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I mean, I definitely understand the funding concerns, and the cost concerns. But we're building something, for the next 30 years. Everett had said about the steel building versus the concrete building. There's so many more things that you can do with the concrete building. You can burn at higher temperatures, without worrying about destroying the building itself. I think Dutchess County's building is really starting to
Dutchess County, I mean, the building itself is out of service more than it's in service.
What type of
steel?
It's a metal building.
Yeah, it's like the one I think you're talking about in Cortland.
And the
one that is in Walker Valley.
Yeah.
And you have to replace, amount, so Walker Valley is probably not used, nearly as much as we plan on using this
site.
And the for the amount of use that a site like this, a metal building, you have to replace those panels after every five to eight years. But right. with this use, probably more often than that.
Right, and they would crack and so on. So like the patchinite tile, which is used in the metal buildings more often than not, they crack when you use a straight stream on it. The thing is, so then they're saying, okay, well when you go into this fire building, turn it to a fog. Well, we don't fight fire with fog, we fight fire with straight stream. So now I'm teaching the firefighters to go in there and I'm telling them, you're supposed to hit the fire with the straight stream, but now they go in a room, no, well, turn it to fog now. And then when they go to fight a real fire and they're going back to their muscle memory and they're training, they're turning it to fog. Well, fog creates steam. Steam burns firefighters. Our gear doesn't protect us from steam. Steam burns are extremely horrible for a firefighter to get. You know, so we're trying to teach them the right way. We want to teach them give them the proper skill set to when they're fighting a fire and not a bad skill set. You know, so it's things to take into consideration.
I think Heidi just wanted to follow up.
Yeah, just as a reminder, in your quest for funding, so Ulster's unique in that it has four senators, so two of which are in the majority now, Metzger, Skoufis, Amador, and Seward, and at least two assembly members also, so your funding request should go in January, and those monies are typically attached to the budget, which comes down, we like to pass an on-time budget April 1st, so it would be nice to start that in the beginning of the year.
We've already started this conversation, but yes, expect to hear more from us.
And have you reached out to Cahill as well?
Not yet, but
someone will.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just one more thing, because I do think this is absolutely critical. It's just, we've got to look at it from the financial impact, but it doesn't nowhere near covers the skill set we're building, and I totally get that. So I just want to be on record with everyone that while these, there are questions about
the
numbers, because they're critical, but at the end of the day, we want to make sure everybody has the skill set and they're safe. So...
Yeah, I'd be curious if there was any comments from the fire community.
I've made comments in front of the legislature in public. I've commented at the last committee meeting. This is a sorely needed building. This has been described to the fire service as step one or step two as part of a program, and I want to remind everybody that that's the expectation and that's what we're looking forward to. This is an important step. I totally agree. Me personally, I totally agree that to spend $1.1 million on that administration building to reuse it is ridiculous and would be that would be unwise. So there's got to be an alternative out there, which I'm sure you're already looking at all the alternatives to do it better. To touch on what Everett touched on again is that this always has been used between police agencies, fire agencies, and even EMS, and I'm sure it'll be available to that. So this facility gets used extensively by a lot of agencies in this county, and actually works out really, really well because a lot of the volunteer firefighter training, happens in the evenings, and a lot of the police training. With the shooting and doing target training happens during the workday, so it's a win-win for all of us.
I just wanted to introduce Chief Mance, who is the head of Fire Chiefs Association.
I'm the current chairman of the board of directors of the Ulster County Fire Chiefs Association.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I like to add that the Ulster County Sheriff's Office actually uses that range in suits twice a year there. It'd be a benefit to us as well.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I just wanted to say on the record that I'm happy that this is coming to fruition. I know that this has been tried several times in the past. To bring a countywide fire training center. There had been smaller training centers: Woodstock, Wawarsing, Ulster, Walker Valley. And then each fire department, has to worry about. Building an extrication pad or building a car fire pad or just doing it in as they did when I was a kid in a parking lot next to the firehouse. So to see this finally coming to complete fruition is really makes me happy that we're finally getting to a point where we can have one for everybody.
Great. Go ahead, Mark.
And if I could add that within that cap, that $6.8 million, we have props that are included in that, which, as Legislator Ronk said, the extrication pad,
the fire behavior lab.
Yeah.
Propane prop.
The maze.
Yeah. Correct?
Yep. Right. Confidence maze.
Mass confidence maze is included?
No, we're going to use an existing building.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to use an existing building. And the other thing that's important to note is that there's a, we did, recognizing these capital project issues, we did, there is a 10% contingency here. So there is about a $466,000 contingency that's
built into the 6.8.
Now, that was one question I had earlier that I forgot to ask. You're comfortable with that from a planning perspective, Dennis?
Well, that the construction manager is comfortable with that, and the buildings department is comfortable with
okay.
that. So the contingency numbers here are important, I think.
Yeah.
For us.
I have a question. I'm wondering if you all have had any kind of substantive conversations with the incoming county exec about all of the, I mean, these decisions are going to influence his tenure in office, and I wonder if you can comment on that and
sure.
where he might stand.
He's supportive of the project, wants to see it move through, doesn't love the price tag.
Right, okay.
And but
I don't think any of us do.
No, and I had some quote that wasn't really a quote because it wasn't exactly what I said. But in some senses, this is what we're looking at. It is a little bit of reality in the construction business that there are less construction firms now than there are, especially that bid municipal projects. There is a lot of work out there.
Mm-hmm.
You see projects, our consultants and our construction managers, and Todd DiOrio, head of the Building Trades Council, says he sees both union and non-union projects, so projects being built without a project labor agreement, etc. They'll get no bidders. And it's just, schools are having to go back to the drawing board. There is a ton of work out there and not as many firms doing bids. And material costs are up right now.
Concrete jobs
right?
in particular right now are at a
premium.
Insane premium.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to see. We're going to come to the legislature this month for our trail access points along the Shokan Reservoir. We had one bidder for that project.
DEP is paying for those, right?
Yeah.
All right.
There's no county cost, but
the number that we got was we were hoping to make some money on these trails, and we had looked at a budget where we were
sell concessions.
Added some funding that we hope we could use to help offset other costs associated with the trail. And what ended up happening is that we ended up having to go back and look at the bid documents and quantities, et cetera, in order to make it the budget that we thought was more than generous.
Have you done an assessment of all the capital projects, you know, given these kinds of numbers? We're seeing it just about everything we've seen so far this year. The numbers are drastically different in a lot of cases, and
what we can say is that the construction management firm that we hired does a lot of school work and a lot of other municipal work, and they've indicated to us that the number of bidders is down, the costs are up somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-40% in some instances.
And one thing to remember about this capital project in particular is that the drastic rise in cost is not just because of the increase in costs or the decrease in bidders. It's also because of the dramatic rescoping from the original capital project, which was going to be a steel building.
I didn't realize the original number was within that.
May have been even at a different location, but certainly was before we realized that we had to go 42 feet down to pin to bedrock and was with a metal building. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the question I was going to say. I think everybody agrees that, you know, we rely on this volunteer, fire departments across the county, and that they're invaluable and that they need to be well-trained. There's no, I think no one's debating about that. Mm-hmm. Just trying to sort of figure out, like, this is a, $6 million increase. That's really significant. And what I was going to ask, although it's partially been answered, but when I go back to constituents.
$2.5 million.
$2.5 million.
Right. when I go back to constituents, the question becomes, how do I explain that?
Right.
Right. And they're not going to want to hear the nuance of, you know, well, it's this, it's incarnate. What would you say to them if I had to?
I would tell them that the scope of the project significantly changed, and that when we were looking at a $4.5 million project, as Ken said, we were looking at a metal building. And fire behavioral science has changed. Uh-huh. And this is now a state-of-the-art building, and the metal building is no longer state-of-the-art.
So since the original discussion of this bid, somewhere along the line, somebody realized, wait, this is a metal building, this isn't good.
Well, there was a group of people that met, a committee that the county executive created.
I can expand on it. So when we first looked at the project, the budget was below 4.5. I mean, we didn't have the matching funds from the state yet.
Right.
You know, so
say that again. The
matching funds weren't there from the state yet. It wasn't even talked about. So, you know, so the metal building was the only option there.
Okay.
You know, I mean, so, but sitting down and looking at it and starting to do more research, you know, if we came into, you know, going down and looking at the Orange County Fire Training Center, which Dennis went down and looked at, looking at the one at the Fire Academy, and those are the two similar ones to the one that's being proposed now. You know, we're building, Ulster County doesn't have a county fire training center. We've relied on the local fire departments that have it. You know, the current one that's at Ulster Landing it's really hard to use. It's very small. And a lot of times it's, you know, things are happening, you know, pieces of concrete are falling down. We safely can't use that one anymore. Walker Valley, they've been very helpful to us, and they've allowed us to go out there, but we're very limited because it's a metal building. We can't retain the smoke in there, and you're burning at 600 degrees at the ceiling itself. And that's another one where, you know, you have to look at, we're using a fog when we go into the burn building. Woodstock's been helpful, but we're limited with space out there. We can only get to two sides of the building.
Okay.
We can't access 360 degrees, so we're very, very limited with that building as well. You know, like you mentioned before, it's very important that we train our firefighters. Fire behavior is I don't like to say it's different, but there's changes because of construction,
building
because
materials.
Of materials with inside the structure, which make it burn differently. Okay, but fire behavior has always been fire behavior.
So I'm understanding it's the scope has changed, construction material prices have changed, and then we found some.
The training has changed. We want to ensure that the firefighters are getting the necessary training. You know,
and there were some unforeseen site issues.
Well, let's also say that, you know, we're a couple things. I would say one is that you also have design costs and construction inspection costs, which are completely different from going from a modular building to a design building. So, I mean, we have design costs in here for this building that are close to $200,000. You have design costs for the site that are close to or that are over $300,000.
So, but none of this is the at the door constituent stuff.
But that's the point. If you want, and I was going to get to that. Yeah. If you want to explain this in terms that the general public can understand,
right.
It's the change in costs for what it used to cost to put a roof on versus what it now costs to put a roof on. The change in cost what it costs to now get your door fixed versus what it used to cost. The change in cost that when you call a plumber, what they used to get was $100, and now they get $300 to show up at your door. Those are the kinds of things that on a percentage basis you can start to think about when you're starting to deal with budgets in the millions. That's literally what ends up happening. So it's not like it's unique to a county or it's unique to this facility. It's what's happening in the trades in general.
Okay, go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, and I would also, you know, add to, you know, kind of the viewpoint, just talking with, you know, both local firefighters in my community and elsewhere, to note that, you know, it's about the what we're getting out of the investment. And, you know, of course, we talk about, you know, how great it is that we have the 50-plus volunteer departments and stuff, but also, you know, the paid fire service, from my understanding, in the city of Kingston will also be able to utilize this building. So then what we're making in the investment in this building and what, you know, they were talking about in terms of the specs and how we're able to, the adaptability, you know, what the, you know, what you really got to think countywide is what benefit is a paid firefighter in the city of Kingston, the type of scenarios they're going to be able to train on. You know, obviously isn't the same, you know, a fire department from Hurley or Woodstock, you know, they're going to be seeing much different scenarios than, you know, put it versus, you know, we do have a legitimate city in our county and they'll be able to utilize too, and we'll be able to really, you know, and I think that's, you know, what makes this investment worthwhile, because, you know, it does allow us to really provide for all 50 plus volunteers, but also plus a significant paid fire department in the county.
Yeah, I mean, and the other part, you know, going from the metal building to the concrete building, which is where a lot of the cost increase comes from, you know, and not to be too overly dramatic about it, but the kind of training that Everett and the other state fire instructors can do in the concrete building could save the life of a firefighter in having them properly trained. I mean, and to me, it's really that simple.
I can't say enough where the fire behavior is the number one priority. I keep on saying it when it comes to this building. Yeah. Fire behavior is the number one priority. The stuff we can do within this building really will allow us to teach a firefighter fire behavior. There, we can't do that in the middle. We have trouble doing that. And those signs of what's going to happen, them being able to read smoke and get an understanding and see the movement of smoke and feel a little bit of heat is huge. Them knowing how far they can actually go in before you know, a flashover may happen or so on. Like, they really need to start to understand that. When we teach an initial a Firefighter 1 class, I tell them, we're giving you just enough to get yourself killed, okay? That's what it is. We're giving you 124 hours of training to go in, all right? And then they're going back to departments and they're getting a little training, and then their fire departments are blessing them off, saying, okay, you know, you're an interior firefighter now. And it's a limited amount of training. When a career firefighter is getting, you know, their initial is upwards of, you know, 400 plus hours. It's 3.5 months. You know, we have to make sure that we're giving them the time of training. They're providing such a service to their communities at such a low rate. Realistically, if you look at the career fire departments and how much what the tax rate is within those communities that have career fire departments, and look at what communities that have volunteer departments, what they're paying per 1,000 of assessed value for fire protection, it's peanuts, you know. So we need to make sure that those firefighters are getting trained well and are able to go home to their families, you know, because their families are putting a lot on the line. You know, I think about it myself when I go to a fire myself. I got two kids at home and a wife, you know. I mean, it's, you're putting a lot on the line to do a volunteer, and it's because everybody's heart's in the right place. They want to help out their community.
I think that's well said. I think that might be the closing argument.
That's good.
Any further discussion?
I'm ready to call the question.
Okay. We're going to block these four.
Yep, right? Four of them are blocked together, yep. So the vote on all four?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that's all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, I'm going to pass these. Thank you very much for that discussion. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Mark and Dennis, for coming out. Actually, I'm doing this the right way. I'm doing this out of order.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Huh? Every time you say it, it's
the yeah. I'm looking at how much. I'm looking at the next resolution.
We can go back to 235 if you want.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. That would be great.
I'll make a motion on 235 then.
Second.
All in favor?
Wait.
Aye.
You ready?
Before we vote on it, we're going to have questions.
Discussion.
I just want
to thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
First and foremost, I want to thank all you folks for coming here to the Ulster Food Law Enforcement Center today. Mark, did I give you more than one? Because if I did, I'd be back.
This is not my best one.
No,
I think.
Oh, this is just. Yeah, I have six. I just wanted to give you one.
Yeah, this is 483.
So, just to discuss a little bit about Resolution 235, the SCAP. grant, and that stands for the State Criminal Alien Assistance Program. As you know, we have folks in the county that commit crimes that are not citizens and fall under that, and so the county jail gets reimbursed every year. We usually range between 30 and 35 individuals that commit crimes, felonies, misdemeanors that the federal government eventually takes via court order, and we have to house them here, and that costs money, and we get reimbursed. And so this company goes out, and that company is called Justice Benefits, Inc. They go out, and they analyze all this stuff and put together all the data, and I believe this is a four-year contract, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
four-year.
And so they go out and get all this data
after
and information and help us submit for reimbursements under the SCAP program. They also go out of their way to look at other federal financial programs that we can benefit from. So that's what this is about. And again, we usually get about 30 the 38 individuals that get arrested in the county per year. The county houses them, and the federal government, because they become federal violators, and basically the federal government takes control of them. They pay for any housing, the housing costs for boarding them here. So that's what that's about.
Questions? Yes, go ahead.
Is that the only is that the only program that they're reimbursing is for inmate? Is there other programs?
They look at other things that we may be able to put in for, and they advise us, and then we put in for it. I haven't seen anything since I've been here other than, but the SCAP is something that we get reimbursed for every single year. And we get between $30,000 and $38,000 per year from this program. Now, this company gets about 10 to 15% of the proceeds that we make for putting and filling out this paperwork and submitting it and keeping us up.
Instead of thinking like a grant writer, it's almost like a collection. It's almost like collections.
I don't have a problem. I'm just curious. Does anybody else do that? Are we happy? Are we getting enough from them? Is that the only program they've identified that we're eligible for? So it's just a question. And this is one of the things I think it's important that we should be questioning. Are we getting the level of services? Are we reaping enough benefits from this? And we're renewing another contract for 4 years.
Right.
Is there anything else they can do? And is there anybody else out there that can do better, that can find us more money? That's all I'm asking.
Well, this is the end of month five for me, and I have not seen anything negative about them. I know that we do get between $30,000 and $38,000 a year of reimbursements, and they keep the county, they recommend other grants under the SCAP program. So there are other grants or
funding opportunities,
reimbursables underneath that program, and that's why we utilize them. And I will add, I'm presently putting a grant together. We have zero grant writers here at the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. And we're going to change that because I'm getting some people to go to courses. Orange County has six sheriff's offices, six grant writers.
And, do you know what they bring in annually?
I don't, but I'm sure it's a lot because they wouldn't have six. That's all I can say.
Well,
Orange
County has 21 county fire instructors.
Yeah, they have a lot of fire instructors. They have a lot of deputy fire coordinators.
They're double us, too.
I understand. In theory, it's an investment for,
Right.
And that's an art form.
The grant for the opioid program, and I'm getting help from SUNY Paltz, the Benjamin Center, and it's usually on the screen. 4 or 5 hours a day, I have an appointment, and it's a lot of work.
By the way, that's
to be submitted in 2 days.
Ooh.
So,
Once you get it, it's even the paperwork to get
you
the reimbursement.
Come back,
yes,
to,
right. Okay.
The,
72 hours prior to the 5th.
Mm-hmm. Actually.
Uh-oh. All right.
Well, we're meeting tomorrow.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you
very much, Eric.
Thank you. I didn't see that one. I saw the other one.
I'll move to 259 now. Is that
all right? Yes, go ahead.
I'll move 259, which is the contract with LexisNexis. This is for all of our amateur lawyers down in the pods we just visited. In order to, you know, this allows them to clog up the court system with frivolous motions.
It's a great, I gotta tell you, it's a great investigative tool. We also use it for our background.
Yeah.
So it's a huge investigative tool.
Sorry.
Any sort of discussion? Do we second?
I seconded. John seconded.
Okay. See, I'm getting sharper as the meeting goes along. It's taking a while. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
$265, income tax exemption to volunteer firefighters, volunteer ambulance workers, and members of a volunteer medical services personnel squad.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
I mean, does anybody, if anybody wants a an explanation?
I'd like to sign on as a co-sponsor.
Okay. We'd be happy to have you.
Thank you.
So,
are you signed on as a co-sponsor?
The whole Republican caucus is signed on as a co-sponsor on this one.
Anybody else? You interested?
I want to hear what he's proposing.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the state legislature and the Senate and Assembly, Assembly Bill 7655 and Senate Bill 5564, have provided for a income tax credit for volunteer firefighters and. As an incentive recruitment retention. One of the biggest problems that we have in New York State, and FASNY does it every year, April is Recruit New York Month for the Firemen's Association of New York. And,
I'm well aware of the recruiting. So this is a retention tool.
What is it?
To become a volunteer firefighter.
So is it a...
It's like, $300 tax credit?
So there's a $200 tax credit. This one right here, this new bill...
It's sponsored in the assembly by Mr. Tagg, who represents Saugerties, and
one right here
Mr. Stewart
is to,
in the Senate.
Make volunteer firefighters tax exempt from taxes on your property tax.
Not on full tax.
I thought you were saying income.
Just
tax.
Property tax.
This is an income tax credit. There's already property tax exemptions.
Correct.
But they're very minor. This is an income tax exemption that on your state income taxes. If married, filing jointly, if both spouses are volunteers, then it's I think doubled for married filing jointly filers.
You would have to be within a year, and you would have to participate within your fire department. It's over 50%. Of the call volume, actually incidents, not just call volume. Anything that's done within the department. So, in social events, fire prevention calls, and so on.
So they have to submit their.
So basically, the way the law is written is that the fire chief would supply the information for the department. The fire coordinator in the county, the fire coordinator would review it and have to sign off on it.
Which is easy if they have a LOSAP program.
Correct.
Yeah, that's all documented.
You can use it as the LOSAP program.
And it's also been referred to Ways and Means.
It's a lot of additional work.
On the fire coordinator.
Damn it.
A lot.
Damn
it. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we have come to the last resolution. This is a memorializing resolution 266, calling upon members of the United States Congress representing Ulster County to support H.R. 1629, the quote, Supporting Accurate Views of Emergency Services Act of 2019, also known as the 9/11 Saves Act. I have a motion to consider.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just as some background, one of our emergency services dispatchers brought this to the committee last month, in support of him and his professional expertise on the situation, that's why I put it in. It reclassifies 911 dispatchers essentially as first responders. This gives them the same classification as first responders.
Yeah.
And it's on the federal level.
And access to the support that yes. would go along with a first responder.
Right now they're listed as administrative staff.
But they're actually on the phone with.
Well, I mean, if you, I mean, you know, these dispatchers, you know, they coach people in CPR. They, you know, coach people
to help get there. Yeah,
you know, they
even explain how to perform CPR.
Yes, they'll coach people right through CPR. They'll coach people through basic first aid. Save countless lives, as Mr. Peterson can tell you.
Absolutely. when someone calls 911, the dispatcher that you're talking to, the call taker that you're talking to, is basically the first on the scene. He's taking all of your information, and he's giving you the medical instructions that you need, verbatim, if it's CPR instructions. He's taking your information relative to fire or law enforcement response. They are what they call the true first responders.
And the same way as the sheriff was telling us about folks like Billy downstairs. I mean, you know, they contribute so much to the police work. The dispatchers here. The same way with the emergency responders. They're transmitting vital information to the first responders as they're on their way to the scene. Incident commanders.
Right. We all work hand in hand. And the law enforcement community has the situation itself to deal with, and it's the information that they're getting from the call taker, from the caller, to the dispatcher, out to the units in the field, so that they can go home safe, and it's protecting, helping to protect and treat, in some cases, the 911 call taker,
yeah, absolutely.
The dispatcher.
Any better? If everybody wants to, the more the better.
When it comes to the 911 dispatchers, how important they are getting that initial information to law enforcement. And it's utilized in court afterwards, too. All that information that they get, to us is so important. It starts the process. It starts the investigation.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, the sheriff's absolutely right. Used in court. I recently had the privilege of serving on a criminal jury for the county and in county court, and two different dispatchers were called to the stand and to give professional testimony, and both of the 911 tapes, because they're all taped they're retained for evidence and whatnot, and both of the tapes were played at the trial as well.
I mean, we just had that incident this weekend, and I got to tell you,
the great
work from the folks over at his office were, unbelievable. I was out there. I heard everything on the radio. And
On a Saturday in New Paltz, in the New Paltz Plaza, can just imagine.
Yeah, I went through there. It was crazy.
Oh, my God. So that's a dangerous situation.
Yeah, there's six dispatchers working at the time. So you've got
each one coming five in. Calls.
You've got multiple information calls being entered into the system, being relayed out to law enforcement, and they were able to locate and spot the vehicle as it made it onto the thruway.
Wow.
Right, so within that time frame, from the plaza to the thruway is very short, distance. But that information was entered and given out.
It helps solve cases quickly, and it's so pertinent to what we do in law enforcement. It was key.
I want to offer anybody who'd like to go ahead and put the name on.
Absolutely. Anybody who wants to be added, we'd be happy.
Just let Jade know.
I think I'm on, right?
Not that one yet.
Oh, you can put me in.
This is the 911 one.
Oh, yeah.
I thank Legislator Eckert for co-sponsoring. I think that we're the first majority minority members to co-sponsor to meet that criteria in the rules.
Oh, that's a 3-pointer right there. thank you very much. You were very gracious.
No, thank you.
Extending the offer to me. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, I'm going to pass that around. And are there any closing comments, any events that anyone would like to discuss? Go ahead.
I mean, just, and I think that Mark might have been going to mention it, but just want to remind all the legislators who are here that on Friday we have the swearing in of our new county executive at the ceremonial courtroom at the courthouse.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he would love to have as many of us there as can be there for the historic occasion.
What time is it?
12 o'clock.
12?
And would I also like to give the committee the 2018 service
thank you
annual
very much.
Report.
Okay. CD. No, you're good.
Anybody else? I'll get you a CD.
Here.
I'll have a CD. I don't want the paper. I'll take the CD. I don't want the paper.
I just want to thank the committee for indulging my questions. I appreciate
absolutely.
The opportunity.
It was fantastic to have you here. It was very helpful. So it's good to vet those things. Yeah.
And I just also want to just add my thanks that you had said in the beginning to the sheriff and all your staff for indulging us. I know it can be a little bit disruptive having... Having civilians walk through the jail, but you know it was I think a really good exercise for us. I had done it in the past, but it's good to have a refresher on, like you said, what they're dealing with on a daily basis and why staffing levels are so important.
Thank you for coming. I really appreciate it.
And I just would also want to say on the record that informally, just talking to some of the staff, there was very positive feedback about you and your leadership. So I want to thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.